The Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, and Chess.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 18 of the Better on Draft podcast.
18 already.
We're always shocked by the number as it continues to grow.
Still haven't gone anywhere.
Keeps getting bigger. It's kind of
interesting. Yeah, it does.
Keeps getting bigger.
It does.
Your world known podcast, Better
true.
On Draft, thanks
right?
to our
people
our,
have said things like
at least one fan in Ireland right now.
Yes.
I know I have a few people out in the Netherlands.
Oh, all right. All right. Yeah, so now we know we're at least in, you know, maybe four countries.
People call us out. I mean, I know what's going on.
So once again, my name is Ken. With me, as always, one of our new hosts, Robert. How you doing?
Oh, doing all right. What am I going to get added to this intro?
You know, I think
that's a 20-week-old intro. Hold on here. We made that a while ago.
I think in the intro you'll probably be added. You lasted longer than the last person.
Yeah.
So
double the time now.
We'll definitely get there. But I have the person who
did the
intro. No, I think that was me.
And hey, I got here after jury duty. I feel like
that's
that,
true.
That shows some commitment right there.
Now, can we edit it where it just stops and you say, Robert, let's read it. So like a completely different voice says it.
And Nick and Dan. And Robert.
It'd be like a complete monotone off script. Like, we've put it in a Band-Aid in there.
It's like someone's voicemail greeting.
Right.
Hello, you've reached Dan, Nick, and Ken.
And Robert. It's like the kids trying to get into the voicemail in case grandma wants to leave them a message and grandma doesn't know if they still live there or not.
Right.
Well, Robert, what are you drinking right now?
Right now I am drinking the shorts. What is that?
Swirl stout. It was delicious. Mine's all gone.
Not bad.
Cocoa nibs.
Yeah, and some vanilla and lactose, your favorite right over there.
I am officially down with the swirl.
Oh, boy. Oh, not quite sure what that means, but okay.
What does it mean?
As we continue over, Daniel.
Oh, hey.
Dan, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm enjoying the weekend, getting ready. I was in Boston for a couple days.
I'm sorry.
It was definitely interesting. You know, I learned a few things in Boston. They have terrible pizza.
Makes sense.
True.
They have way too many colleges. I'll tell you that.
Well,
much.
I was over by one of the Harvard medical facilities because one of the medical facilities was in the same building as my office.
Okay.
So we pretty much walked by. I was like, Harvard medical testing, and you're like, oh. Well, I need to go to the 8th floor to the tech term where we play with Android tablets all day. It was so weird too because I had never been to a company meeting like that. You know, I've been there for the banking industry, and the banking industry is a lot of like, you know, this is what's going to happen the next few years. And that's kind of what this was, except when you work for a startup and you work for a tech firm, everybody is at the meeting, but nobody's paying attention because they're all basically nose in their laptop because everyone's still got shit to do.
Yep.
You can't take days off. Like, our support team was still working support. So it was definitely interesting. But we did go to a yard house, which is a lot of fun.
You didn't go to any MIT frat parties?
I'll tell you, that's
the one thing that I enjoyed in my time in Boston. Halloween at MIT, I mean, those guys, smart as F, but throw down, like,
the
ridiculous.
The amount of free time that I had wasn't really that much. Like, I went to I went to the yard house for a liquid lunch. I don't think I can go to an MIT frat party at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Sure you can. Why not? Now, anyone who's smart doesn't hang out in Boston. They drive down to Providence. Let's be real. All the cool
people. I also didn't have a car either, so.
That's your fault. Sorry.
Definitely.
So anyways, besides ripping on Boston from my end, what's
going on? Yeah, we got Nicholas over here, too. Nick.
Hey, Nick. About me or something?
Oh, yeah. No. You're the second name in the promo.
These guys are talking about, like, oh, Boston. Like,
what's going on?
I'm all right, as per usual. What are you drinking over there?
This is the Pilsner from Griffin Claw.
And I think Dan's drinking that, too.
Yeah, I am, too. I was hoping you weren't going to ask me because I don't know the name.
Oh. Bohemian.
Oh. Okay. Oh. I was going to say, I don't know if it was the Grind Line or...
No,
I wish. That's the pale.
Yeah, okay. That's the pale ale. No, stop that Griffin Claw on my way here to get this kick-ass growler.
Got the $200 growler.
Yeah, I know,
you
right?
Kill somebody with.
I know. You probably could. It's like all aluminum.
It's a repeated bashing. The growler, yeah, no, the normal growler will break.
Yeah. But
making a murderer part two. Nicholas Paglia was a beer drinker. And one day went to Griffin Claw.
I got there like around 5 o'clock and it was like packed already.
Oh, yeah. You have to go pretty much early. Like, once you get there,
skip
like at 4 o'clock or so, it's pretty much packed the entire time.
Yeah.
So
they open at 2.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they don't do the lunch when normal like people would actually go there.
Yeah.
I was like really disappointed when I found that out.
They do Outback hours. This is pretty much what they do.
No, they open at like 4 or 5 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, as much as that is, it is in Birmingham, there's not a lot of business in that direct area.
It's like not right downtown.
Not yet. Yeah. There's a lot of townhouses being built in that area.
Right.
That's supposed to be over by where the Troy Transit Center is.
Well, they moved it. It's on the other side of the tracks because where Griffin Claw is, the Amtrak station used to be literally right there. It's on the other side now. Like in Troy.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Normally I'm hanging about on the west side of Woodward over there for Birmingham, so.
You mean where everyone else is?
Where everyone
is.
Yeah.
Where you don't need a car to get to.
Where all the plebs are? Is that the proper?
Yeah, the Birmingham plebs.
The Birmingham plebs.
Where they sell the $8 PBR in a brown bag.
Hey, I mean, it's...
Never
it's,
quite understood that.
It's definitely it's $9 beer night.
$9 beer
night. Everywhere there is $9 beer night all day.
I was going to say, yeah, we used to, back when I was younger, we used to go to Birmingham and basically just walk the streets and smoke a cigar because we were, you know, under 21, and so we never really could go to the bar. And the first day we could actually go to the bar, we walk in, we look at the prices, and we walk out and just continue to smoke
cigars. Yeah, I'm sure you did. That's not the
we're just like,
best place.
And this was a time when smoking was allowed inside actual bars, so it's not like we had to leave or anything. You
right.
We could have smoked inside, but no, we weren't gonna. We just went and grabbed some bottles of water and kept walking. Those definitely were interesting days back before I was 21 and still drinking.
You could just went to Augie's and do whatever you
want.
Well,
they couldn't have gotten to Augie's.
Oh, okay. So they didn't look 30 when they were 19?
No.
Okay.
They didn't look 30 when they were 16. Robert laughs. I've had this haircut for a while, Robert. This definitely wasn't planned, that's for sure.
Never can plan for that.
So we definitely have not too much in regards to the beer world to talk about today. There are a few different things that have gone on. I know they announced a KBS week in which you can go buy tickets.
Oh, they've done that for a while.
You can go buy tickets at Founders and then basically pick up your KBS during the day, like any time during the day. You can get 3 4 packs. That's your limit, and you only can buy one ticket.
How much are tickets?
$5.
Oh.
Yeah, how much are the 4 packs?
Yeah,
how
many? I thought there were 20.
Yeah, I think they're 20.
I think they were 20.
That's about...
The only good thing about KBS week are they give them to all those restaurants throughout the week. So if you're out there, each restaurant taps one throughout the week or a couple of restaurants tap.
I would probably go for the other restaurants at that point.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about it. It was somewhere in Ann Arbor. It wasn't Arbor Brewing. Somewhere out there tapped it at like midnight on that Monday because they couldn't do it before because Founders said no. They were going to tap it like 8 p.m. They're like, no, you had to wait till it was actually KBS week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they couldn't tap it till midnight, but they did on that Sunday night. Like, everyone at the bar Sunday night at midnight.
Well, we saw that this year with Bourbon County going on draft well before Black Friday was happening.
Yeah,
people were
selling
it.
Bottles were getting out there. Kegs were getting tapped, you're right. And they were actually kind of mad about that, if I remember.
Oh, yeah, they were. They were extremely upset because, you know, obviously they want their beer to be released. all at the same time. I'm trying to think of what had happened. I definitely know I upset someone this week, and it was awesome.
That you did. I saw that.
Oh, man. Oh, there we go. So as we're talking about social media and stuff, and I'm hoping while I talk, Dan might pour me one of the cans of milkshake
stout. What would you
like?
Oh, the milkshake? Yeah, I want some of that too, actually.
All right.
Good call. Good call.
So I haven't gotten a cup
yet.
Hold
on, I have to be that guy.
So we, this guy was trying to sell. He said, you know, his intro to the post was trying to clear out my cellar, which, you know, most people who try to clear out their cellar, most people who are trying to clear out their cellars, Dan's trying to get
I don't know how your
attention.
Phone's in computer. I don't know what we're doing here, but
what are you guys doing?
Well, no, what are you guys? You do, yeah. You're like, both of you are like staring at other screens. I haven't listened to what Ken's talking about.
It's called my laptop.
So we, this guy posted, and he was posting Bourbon County for $20 a bottle. And this is like not a this is a trade forum, so he's trying to sell them. And usually, like in this forum, you're supposed to sell it for, you know, near cost at price. And he was trying to sell a 6-pack of Bell's Hop Slam for $22. And I'm like, so I say, you know, you're not. My first post was a little ton, you know, a little sassy, I guess we could say. I was like, you're not going to make many friends with those prices. And so it continues on, and it gets even funnier because. He basically calls out, like me in regards to like being this know-it-all, and I'm like, the price, like Hopslam $16.99 and as cheap as $14.99, so you can go and buy that anywhere. Still, it's not like it's that complicated to not find. And he's just like, oh, well, you know, if you did simple math, it's $19.99 for the 6-pack, and I'm like, where?
Yeah, where are we buying this? Is this in like Iran? Like we're smuggling Hop Slam over? Or, like I'm not even sure.
You of all the countries you pick Iran,
or if we're in a Muslim right. country, you know, it's hard, a little bit harder to get some alcohol. I'm thinking there's a premium.
I'm sure it's illegal too.
Well, yeah, that's why it's a little bit harder, a little bit more expensive.
So I basically explain, you know, I'm thinking this guy's going to basically get chewed out by the community, because if you're trying to rip someone off like that, you're going to get, I mean, we talked about somebody getting doxxed before for trying to sell KBS for way above cost.
Yep.
And so basically, he talks about the $19.99, so I explain it to him. And then I take pictures, and I took picture, mind you, I didn't mention it, but it was a photo just recently of Bourbon County for $9.99.
I remember that. Yeah.
But it was in California. So I'm like, you know, it was more, you know, just trying to be funny.
Just being that guy.
Yeah, just being that guy. And then come to find out, Alger's over in Grosse Pointe actually had Bourbon County still for $14 a bottle.
Nice.
So somebody's like, you know, where are you going to find that? So I pretty much like, I'm like, whatever. You know, he called our podcast a struggling podcast.
Oh, yeah, the struggling podcast. Oh, look out.
With all those listens.
No.
I'm not too worried about it, but I just definitely thought it was funny, you know, how upset he got, because I basically called him out on his, you know, price gouging. And I just said, you know, as much as I agree with free market economics, and you guys both have heard me, or all three of you have heard me say, I am all for selling beer at what you think it's worth. But I'm going to tell you that if you think you're going to sell it for that much, you're not going to. Nobody's going to buy it. Nobody, especially the Hop Slam.
No.
Nobody's going to buy it. But don't come here and tell me that you're selling it for at cost when that's not at cost either.
No.
Don't lie to me. Don't lie to my face.
I mean, would that price make sense if, let's say it's July, and, I mean, we're talking about a beer that comes out in January. Somebody's looking for it in July. Would that price make sense?
Not at all.
Still wouldn't make sense.
Who's drinking bourbon stout?
No, he's talking Hop Slam.
I'm talking Hop Slam.
Yeah. At that point, you're like, you know, okay, it's Hop Slam. The hops are going to start to fade. You better bring your price down before I even want to. You're not going to find many people like me who wants to drink a year old Hop Slam and thinks that a year old Hop Slam tastes well. So, you know, at that point, at $16.99, I'd look and be like, I'll take your 6-pack off you for $10. Because it doesn't bother me that
aged Hop Slam.
Now, if you're referencing Bourbon County, you know, I don't think I would value it at $20 at that time, especially because he wanted everyone to come to him for the trade.
Oh, even better.
Get
gouged.
So at that point, you know, I could say maybe $15, $16 is going to pretty much be my max level for a Bourbon County, especially if I'm going towards that Bourbon County. Now, come next year, like, you know, if it was a 2014 variant – not variant, sorry, 2014 version. I don't want to say variant because it's not the coffee or anything. Right. If it's a 2014 version, okay, I may be a little more inclined. We've had the 14 version and it tastes really good. So I might go to him and be like, hey, you know, $20 for a 2014 bottle of Bourbon County, I can make that for you. But again, it's how much you value it for and how much he values it for.
Right.
But again, I think the biggest issue was is don't tell me that's at cost when it's not at cost.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say this $5 Little Caesars pizza is, you know, $10 because
just trying to clear out your
because I'm
your
just
fridge.
trying to
clear out your fridge,
clear out the cellar. I got this cardboard box. It's got this pizza in it. You know, the grease stains are aged as well.
Oh, Lord.
Aged grease stains. So has anybody done any drinking this week? Have we tried any different beers? I know Nick had some this weekend. I know you had Rochester Mills
last week. Pancake. Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
What did you think of the blueberry pancake?
I wish they would can that regularly. That you open it, smells like pancakes. It was actually good. I wish you would have brought the other cans so you guys could have checked and said.
I'm sure we'll be here next week.
I was going to say, I think this is a backdoor way of like losing it, but. Yeah.
Oh, you think I'm going to steal it?
Like, oh, backdoor way of all.
Maybe I need to put it on this.
The snow drift.
Maybe I need to put it on the Detroit Beer Exchange so I can sell it.
Yeah, I wish they did sell that one, though. That one is really good. It's the milkshake with the – taste like the milkshake stout at all.
But. What's interesting, though, is the fact that you have to go on a specific day to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't get every single milkshake stout.
It's part of the 12 days. You have to go, like, every day to get it. Yeah, I was really impressed. I will look for that next time. Or see if he has more cans because I hate to hit him up and be like, hey, do you have any more of that? But
well, I'm sure you'd buy it too.
Yeah. That's freaking good.
If you got any more and you're interested in canning it and
giving
Eric
wants
to
swing by and drop off some, I got cash. It's no big deal.
But again, that's the point. You know, first, you know, you look at price delivery.
Yeah.
You know, at $20, if you're going to show up at my door with a bottle of Bourbon County and I don't have to go anywhere, I don't have to drive anywhere. I could pay $20.
Well, I don't know now. Gas is like $1.30 something.
But you're looking at almost an hour drive time for me, basically round trip, depending on traffic and where in Royal Oak
you're. They're like down the street from you though. $20.
Oh no. I'm referring to like, you know, if me or Nick were to, or even, you know, Robert were to go and get it, you know, just because you'd have to drive even further. At $20, if it shows up at your doorstep, you might be a little more inclined to be like, all
right,
I don't mind
delivery.
I'll
drop it off, sure.
I mean, hell, Jets delivers for $3.95.
How do they justify that price with gas at $1.39?
And then want a tip on top of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I love Jets, but, I mean, you guys are going to get your tip, but $4 for the delivery and then tip on top of that?
Yeah, you want to talk about it? The Hungry Howie's on 9 Mile, and, like, keep in mind, you can pretty much see that Hungry Howie's from my house wants $4 for delivery.
Really?
It's like, oh, really? Yeah, I don't think I'm going to
I'll just walk over.
I'll
see you in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I can just stroll over.
Yeah, like I usually give a little bit more tip for where I live just because it's a little bit more complicated to get to my
apartment. We waited like 2 hours for that delivery.
I know.
The night of the Royal
Rumble.
There's
no
tip
involved there at that point. Like, wow.
Yeah, the Rumble definitely had a little bit poorer service from Asiago's than I had ever seen before.
Well, everyone's entitled to a bad night, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. Like that long.
That's why I said I guess.
You know who doesn't have a bad night?
Who?
Jack over at Zatuna.
Oh, he never does. Never has a bad night.
No,
nice.
He doesn't.
All right.
Jack over at Zatuna in Rochester Hills. Definitely a great place to pick up beer, wine, liquor, singles, six packs. They sell basically everything you want. If it's sold in Michigan, Jack can get it for you, and definitely one of those places that does not gouge you on prices. Check them out. They're open 7 days a week and usually open pretty late during the week too, so if you need that late night beer run and you're looking for something a little bit more unique, definitely check them out over there.
I was out that way just the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact.
Did you stop over at Zatuna?
I was actually on the clock, so I really didn't have the opportunity to stop it.
I don't think that's ever stopped me from stopping.
I would have been in there.
I wanted to get done with my work so I can go home and do homework.
Oh, but if you would have stopped and grabbed a beer, then you could have brought beer home to drink.
Homework would have been more fun.
Well, I'm bringing beer home with me tonight anyway, so.
We could go do.
That's how I felt.
We could do matrix algebra and drink. I mean, I know that's right up your alley.
Matrix algebra. You know how long ago that was for me?
I mean, we can do differential equations and drink.
They taught matrix algebra and differential equations in the same class for me.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Nice. It's, you're an engineer, so most people wouldn't even step foot in one of those, but.
It's like Calc 4, basically.
Okay. Goodness.
Don't forget though, don't drink and drive.
Oh,
I went there.
Is it break time?
We still got another 20 minutes.
We've got another 20 minutes before break. This is going to be interesting.
So Sierra Nevada released their Beer Camp Across America for 2016.
This is always an exciting thing, I think.
It's going to be interesting. They're going to be doing it with, by the looks of it. I'm trying to see if I can name the actual breweries itself because it's definitely not reading very well. But they're going to have a session rye, a stout, a session, an imperial session IPA.
That makes no sense.
I'm going to read this because I'm definitely curious in regards to this. This is the first time. The next one I'm excited for, but it goes a style contradiction. Horrors the Pacific Northwest hop bomb heritage. Moxymoron features hops in the mash, the kettle, the hop torpedo, and the fermenter for ultra complex hop aromas and flavors in an ironically named package.
So they just name it this? What's the ABV on this?
It doesn't say.
Yeah,
sure if you dig around, you might be able to find it.
I'm trying to see if it would actually show up on the bottle because they showed all the bottle labels itself, but it doesn't look like it.
Session Imperial. That's like us being like, oh, every beer is a session beer if you try. Here's that 11%er. Yeah, like that's the Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Geez.
Hold on. Now, I'm saying that I only drank three beers. They all just happen to be
10%.
10 to 12%. But 1 hour is not bad.
I know. So we have an Imperial Brown Ale with cocoa.
Sounds good.
I want that now. A revolutionary, it says Pat Rye Ott, so Patriot. I'm like, Pat Rye Ott, Patriot. Revolutionary Pale Ale. They spelled it the word Pat, the word Rye, and then Ott, like Stephen Ott.
Oh, Lord.
And then you have Sweet Sunny South Southern Table Beer.
What?
It says tea, honey, sweet peaches, and corn grit. Oh, hold on.
Whoa. We got some grits.
It goes magic grits? Malt body, complex, tangy finish from the fruit, tea, and herbs. So I guess it's supposed to be more of like a – it's probably more of like a lawnmower beer than anything. Something a little bit more crispier.
Yeah, peach
like
beer.
A Leinenkugel almost, I guess, would be.
So that Imperial Session IPA has got an alcohol content of 7.5.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did they announce it officially, or?
This is direct from 7. Sierra Nevada.
5, oh, yeah.
This is directly on the Beer Camp website.
If they're mixing torpedo, like, you're in trouble already.
That's the Southern Table Beer. It's called Sweet Sunny South.
Oh, I was talking about the wrong one.
It's 4.9%. That brown ale that Ken's just going gaga over.
I'm excited for
it. 8.5.
Eight Ooh. And a half, all right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Session Rye with Hibiscus.
Sorry, it could be good.
5.5.
I think it was Neptune that Jupiter was the
Jupiter
brown.
Was the brown.
Neptune was the one that had Hibiscus.
Revolutionary Pale Ale, 5.6. And the Robust Stout, 7.3. Got a nice little...
Well, I mean, most of those styles
are
range
there.
Yeah, most of those styles a little bit. The range is definitely something that I'm interested in for the fact that they usually do not have that big of a range with their beer camps. Usually, it's a little bit more towards the ale side, the IPA, the pale ale.
I was gonna say Sierra Nevada sticks to kind of more IPAs, pales, and anything.
Yeah. Well, this is only the first six of them. I believe there's six more coming out? Or is that how it normally works?
What's going on YouTube, Ken?
Well, I'm actually bringing something up, which is funny.
Oh, I was waiting for that. It happens every day.
I was queuing it up for what I wanted to talk about next, just because it's definitely something that I'm interested in. But we could talk a little bit more. So Sierra Nevada, definitely always has their IPAs, their Torpedo, which is one of their mainstays.
Stronger.
Their Standard, which is a standard IPA.
Very good. I'll drink that go to the bar, go to the clubs here, and I'll drink the Sierra Nevada because they're not going to have Rochester Mills or anything like that.
Yeah. Not like us that we have here in the studio.
Yeah, and if we were going somewhere, they had it probably like $8, so I'm not going to blow that anyways. Yeah. I'd be drinking the PBR in the can for the $2 because, yeah.
I know that's the thing is we were having a discussion and somebody's like, oh my gosh, why would you drink that? And I'm like, sooner or later after two or three IPAs at a bar, really do not want to drink a fucking IPA.
Especially if I'm dropping $5 a bottle, too.
Yeah,
it's not even so much the cost. It's like once you get to that certain point, you're just
chugging IPAs.
Yeah, you have three or four of them, and then the next thing you know, it's like, oh, gosh, I need something a little bit more lighter.
That's why I was double-fisting Newcastles on Monday night.
Now that would be something that you could probably
do. It's one of our old-school beers.
Oh, yeah.
Those were cool before.
They had 312 in Newcastle. It was just pretty pretty much like the better of the beers that they had at the open bar. And so I grabbed one and I'm like, oh, it's going to be, because, you know, it was an open bar. Therefore, there was a little bit of a line every time you had to go up. Of course. So we pretty much, I took note from my olden bar days where you sit near the bar.
Or stand at the bar.
Or just stand at the bar. When you went to Luna.
I went to Luna all the time.
Free drink night, just stand at the bar, yep. Don't move.
So yeah, by that point, then I was like grabbing the Newcastles and just like, let's go. And finally,
let's keep doing
like
this.
The night was over. They call it last call. I looked down at my watch. It says like 9:30, 10 o'clock. I'm like, I got to be up early. So I like went back to my hotel. And this hotel, oh my gosh, I got to show you guys pictures. They made this hotel to basically look like the back of a concert. So, like, really grungy.
This is on purpose?
Oh, yeah. It's called the Verb Hotel. And it's supposed to look, like, really, really grungy. Like, even the
Verb, as in, like, verb adjective?
Yeah.
The Verb?
The Verb. It's in downtown Boston over by Fenway. And we are basically, yeah, it has this like grunge look to it. And you're like, all right.
There's like a tour bus outside, it looks like. I don't know.
I don't remember.
It's this big red bus.
It was gray, cold, and sometimes I was drunk. So it was definitely an interesting week, to say the least. To see my my boss do a keg stand was definitely an interesting. And the fact that I didn't go watch him do the, like, I on Tuesday night I'm like, you know what, I'm not drinking tonight, I'm just gonna relax, you know, I'm away from work, I'm away from everyone, just, you know, relax and sleep.
This looks very hipster like.
Oh, it's very hipster like.
Yeah, I'm looking at the photos of the Verb. Is that a tour bus with a freaking, like,
I don't know.
And this is why Boston isn't good.
it looks like they have, I really want to know if that's like a tour bus that you can like rent out and call it your room or something.
I don't know. I did not. I stayed in a regular room.
Well, I'm going to research this while you do that.
So Budweiser released a commercial today, one of their Super Bowl 2016 commercials.
Oh, boy.
And as you're going to be able to probably hear it in the background, I'm going to basically read off what they say, because obviously they don't talk during the commercial. So it's basically going through, like, Budweiser. It says, not ponies.
Oh, I can get down on this music.
Not a hobby. As Dan's watching it, too. Not small. And then it goes, not sipped, and it's people basically, like, celebrating, like, I think,
it's like a crappy party.
Yeah.
That's, like, somewhere I wouldn't be.
Not soft. I think it was when the Cardinals won the World Series. Not imported. Not a fruit cup, and it's got this old guy that, like, flicks.
Here we go again.
Not following. And then
you see who made this.
And then it's not for everyone. And then it goes to Not Backing Down, which is a name since 1876.
Not for everyone, which means if you're under 60, it's not for you. Because ain't no one drinking that anymore. Who drinks Budweiser?
So this time they decided not to come out with an actual, well, they said fruit cup.
No,
so,
they basically ripped on
last time
everything.
They did, what was it, pumpkin peach ale?
Oh, I love that.
And then everyone's
commercial.
Just, everyone who was craft just said, all right, we're making pumpkin peach ale.
I know Griffin Claw had one. I know Elysian had one, and they had just bought Elysian too.
Going back to Dan's comment about no one drinking Budweiser, there's someone in my bowling league on Monday nights that drinks Budweiser.
Oh,
still.
God.
I think they were buying it by the bucket too, which is even funnier.
Well, that's pretty much how you buy beer at a bowling alley.
Yeah, well, unless you're like my team with Brown and Chris and all that, you're buying 23 ounces of Snowdrift and drinking that.
Don't let them fool you. They were drinking MGD and Miller Lite.
Oh,
Lights
no.
Thursday
I know.
Nights.
I've seen them bowl before. They're drinking High Life, MGD.
High Life.
And any other, you know.
Danny's in Ferndale drinking High Life.
High Life is
Yeah,
that
they're definitely the drinking.
Not that bad.
For bowling, it's not that bad.
Rather just not drink.
Like, you can drink, like, one Snowdrift and, like, oh, gosh, I can't have to bowl again after drinking the Snowdrift?
Yeah, I definitely recall sometimes when I was drinking, like, craft beer as fast as everyone else, and I'm drinking something a little bit higher ABV, and I'm like, man, I'm feeling it tonight.
Did you bowl better?
Oh, no. I never bowled better when I was drunk.
I think it happened to me like one time.
The only time I've ever bowled better or done something better while drunk was definitely playing pool. Like, I'm always a little bit better at pool when I'm playing drunk.
Right, yeah.
Like, everything else, like, I can't bowl better. I'm not a golfer. I never tried drinking while disc golfing while other people do. And I'm like,
that's like everyone else.
I smoke a cigar when I'm out in the course. That's what I want to do during my spare time.
Smoke,
since you can't
smoke a cigar
and... nearly anywhere in this country.
Unless
damn
you're like cigar
liberals. I don't think that's a real thing.
Thanks, yeah. Obama.
Thanks, Obama. There you go.
Well, that'd be thanks. What's her name? Our old governor.
Jenny from the Block.
Yeah.
Granholm. She
Granholm.
Was on, yeah.
Thanks, Granholm. Yeah.
She was on CNN. Like,
don't forget No Meat Mondays like that she used to have.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And Canadian
four,
liberals.
And in 4 years, you're going to be impressed. kiss my ass.
Oh.
I am impressed. We have more vegans than we thought we would.
Can you really live for a long time as a vegan, though? Didn't Daniel Bryan get told by the doctor he would die?
Yeah, he had some like disease where he basically, because he can't get his protein from anywhere, like, so he has to get his protein from actual meat.
Like, he would die if he didn't, like, stop.
It's like, get over it, Daniel Bryan.
Just eat some meat, damn it.
Just have yourself a burger at, like, once a week, and then whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, go to confessional.
Go to a confessional.
Good Lord.
Tell a priest why you haven't been eating meat and why you've been against God's will.
What?
That's
We still got another 9 minutes.
Go to a priest. Tell him that you're sick of being an asshole and that you're going to start eating meat. Like, I don't even know.
Well, it's funny. There's a comedian that figured out something, and he goes, you know, in regards to telling a joke, and he goes, you know, God went to Jesus. Jesus is God's only son, but we are all God's children, which makes us all lesbians.
What?
Well, we're all women because Jesus is God's only son.
I don't even know what to say.
That's a joke, Daniel.
I need to know what's funny. This is getting crazy now.
It's like a dank meme level type of thing.
Oh, yeah. It's probably might have been where I actually found it from.
I just saw that had a dank meme. It was like on the internet.
Oh, my gosh.
So this year, there's going to be the Ultimate Funk Fest over at Ashley's Beer and Grill.
Yes.
That is next week, actually. This is going to be the first time they ever have. It's $40. You can get your tickets up till tomorrow, $45 after that. But it is basically unlimited drinking. I think we're going to lose Nick for a few minutes while he cleans up.
No, I'm good. You got it inside.
I'm good.
So no tokens needed. You basically get to drink as much as you're there. So make sure you have a designated driver.
Or Uber,
for that matter.
Better on draft. Use that.
Yeah, better on draft. Uber still works, I believe. They're going to have New Holland Dragon's Milk's Triple Mash. So if you like the Triple Mash, I did not like it.
Oh, God, that was
all.
The worst of all of them.
I thought it was all right.
Oh, wow. Did you have the other ones?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like it. The coffee and chocolate was probably my favorite.
I like the coffee and chocolate.
That was probably my favorite.
I'll take that chili or that raspberry. I thought was so good. We had a couple of bottles of that, actually, and that was wow.
I got you a bottle of the chili, too.
Chili, yeah, I drank it. I was actually shocked when it was cold. Like, there was no heat to it. I was kind of disappointed, but...
I'm sorry. Well, you could have let it warm up a bit. I mean, you have that ability.
Yeah. No, I don't have the ability to leave a beer sitting there. It's my weakness. Oh, there's a beer. I better drink it as fast as I can. Hold on.
Okay. So
no sipping here.
Speaking of some of the beers that we're drinking right now, what am I drinking right now? I'm drinking
Rochester
the Red.
Red.
Yeah. So I'm drinking the Rochester Red.
Very good.
Rochester Mills, big ups to Eric for coming on out last week. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're always welcome here on the show.
Dropped a nice gift on us.
If you go to the Brewery Throwdown, the finals of the quarterfinals happened, and Rochester Mills went up against Two Token Beers. I mean, Arbor Brewing Company.
Who won?
And I tell you what, Arbor Brewing did not bring their best lineup. That is for sure.
I looked at that lineup. I was not impressed with what they brought.
Looking like Buzzsaw IPA, Euchre Pilsner, Bully Pulpit, Oak Aged Abbey, and Oak Aged Mocha Monster.
I can't say I've had any of those.
Yeah, I've had the Buzzsaw IPA, which is pretty. A standard IPA, like not bad, not great.
Okay, heavy.
And then Rochester Mills bought the Pine Knob Pilsner.
Very good.
The double IPA, which we're going to be cracking
both
the double IPA tonight. The Blueberry Pancake Milkshake Stout. And a barrel-aged Michigan Maple Brown Ale.
Okay, where is that can?
on Tuesday while I was doing trivia. That beer is phenomenal.
Does Ashley's do growler fills?
If you're listening,
I'm not sure.
Do you own a growler?
I do own two growlers.
Can you next Tuesday, if they still have it there, bring some for us?
I will do my damnedest.
Okay,
Laura, if you're listening, save that. I will be there on Tuesday.
Yeah, the hell's Eric, and why didn't he bring us some cans of that? Now I'm gonna.
Now we're all mad. he brought us a lot of cans, and now we're mad. Now,
yeah.
Maybe not it was really. One
I'm
of
not,
those.
All right,
cans.
I'm not. No, it wasn't one of those. I looked.
So we have the semifinals coming up, which is going to be quite interesting. One of them I'm actually going to be able to try before, and that's Rockford. Rockford Brewing is going to be going up against Oddside.
That should be interesting.
Never had anything from Rockford.
I've had Rockford at the Brewers Festival, and I'm actually going to Rockford for work. Like, I'm going to be there for 3 days. So
that side of that part of the state, though.
Yeah, so I'll be there for 3 days. So I'm going to try some Rockford, and then Oddside is definitely going to be a crazy. Whatever they bring, no matter what, is definitely going to be crazy. And then you have Roke versus Rochester Mills.
No offense to Roke, but
I don't think Roke has the not necessarily the following, but the amount of beers that Rochester Mills has and can bring. I mean, really along with, like, their red and milkshake stout are basically standards wherever you go.
They are, yep.
Yeah, but I kind of think at the same time. I certainly did not expect Roke to beat Griffin Claw.
I think Roke is doing a lot more grassroots than anything. I don't think Griffin Claw cared as much.
They're getting their business at the tap room, man.
So ordinary. That's why they didn't win.
Griffin Claw did not bring any of their heavy hitters when they had their competition against Roke. And I think that definitely hurt them a lot more than Roke being better, as much as I think it just hurt them a little bit more.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. That's March 2nd for Rockford versus Oddside, and then Roke versus Rochester Mills is March 16th. So I'm assuming the finals is going to probably be the last one in March, if not the first one in April.
Yeah, I'll check. I'm not sure what the date is, but I think it is on, because basically they have a banner right at the front door with the standings and the date. So when I go in there on Tuesday, I see if I find out what the date is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'd hope for maybe something like Oddside versus Rochester Mills for the end, because I think both of them can bring a lot more interesting beers, to say the least. Because, I mean, mind you, this is based solely on volume purchased and not by a rating system or anything like that.
They go by whatever's bought, right?
Correct.
So we should see if we can make it out for the finals.
That'd be a lot of fun.
See if we can do a remote, maybe?
Oh, let's not go there. Offline conversation.
So definitely
just throwing it out there.
Going to be interesting. I mean, Ashley's in Westland. If you've never been there, really good food, really good beer. And definitely a good mixture of craft and Belgian.
It's
and
a damn cask ale fest. Come on.
Yeah.
Is it springtime yet?
Almost.
Almost. Still. Punxsutawney Phil said it would.
He said we're good.
Early spring.
Yeah, he did say we're good. So I don't think that'll make the fest come faster.
Yeah, I know.
One of my favorite things that I love that Ashley's did was when they did a eulogy and threw a party after burying the Miller Lite taps.
Yeah.
It's like the Miller Lite and Bud Light taps, and when they ran out, they said, we're never going to sell it again.
Nice.
They threw a wake, had a eulogy, and they buried it. And it's basically on the side of the building. There is kind of like a little grave for it.
That's nice.
Is there like a tombstone for it? Here lies Bud Light?
Pretty much.
It'll be interesting to see when they release in regards to total volume sales for a lot of these beers, to see where everything is. Obviously, I doubt there's any craft beers that have broken into the top 20 in regards to volume per sales, especially for the fact that you're probably, even with the amount of craft beer being sold right now, you're probably still selling at least two bottles of Bud Light for every craft beer sold,
unfortunately,
volume-wise. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, sooner or later what that craft beer is going to be that's in there. And obviously, I mean, Yingling's up there, which is craft, but it's not, not many people consider it. And you're not looking for your Boston Lager. You're looking for your Stone. You're looking for your Sierra Nevada or, whatever other brewery that might be able to take over a top 20 beer. But even at that point, in regards to volume, you just can't beat those people. You look at some of those things. He had like Strawberita on the top volume.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. The Strawberita is a big seller.
Gives me a headache thinking about it. As bad as that sounds, like, what are you doing? Why are you buying that?
I don't know. I had a can of Strawberita in my fridge. Why didn't you drink it?
I didn't know it was there, and I would have probably just poured it down your sink.
Who drank that?
I would have saved
nobody
you.
Drank it.
I thought someone did.
I offered it to Shank, but
yeah. He didn't drink it?
No, he took something else. I thought that's who drank it.
Yeah, he took something else. He was like, I'll drink whatever, because it was offered to him, and it was free, and that's how you should treat free alcohol.
He drank some beer that you didn't want drank.
Oh, like, no. There were rules of the refrigerator. Everybody was made sure to know the rules of the refrigerator so that, you know, there was nothing that you can take that I didn't want you to take. So we're definitely going to be coming back very, very shortly. We're going to take a quick break, reset, refill some beers. And we'll be right back after a few songs. Undraft podcast. Dan, not a fan of the Harvey Danger.
No, that's I'm talking about the Snowdrift. Oh.
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 Not good?
I took a sip of that to wash on the pretzels. No. Oh.
Not a fan.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But you know what? I also didn't like Snow, that can from milking it when they were around. And this is kind of that same alley. I'm like, ugh.
Maybe it was because of what you had.
It was a little bit easier than Snow.
You want to wash down your palate with a little Rochester Red and maybe try it again?
I don't know if that's going to do it. All right, I'll give it a try.
I don't know.
I thought it was pretty good.
There are times where I've like tasted a beer and I'm like, oh, that's horrible, and it was because of whatever I had ate or drank right before. And after, I'm like, oh, this
pretzels,
is really good.
Why don't I? Like, oh.
So I got pretzels here too, but you know, we have beer to wash down beer.
That's true. Let's try this.
When in doubt, beer is definitely not a good palate cleanser.
How's that?
It's not as bad as I first saw. It's tolerable. I'm not gonna. All right, it's better than Snow. No, you're right. It is better than Snow.
It is a little bit easier to swallow than Snow.
I wish it was a little spicier. I wish there was some spice in there or something. That's
I can understand that.
Yeah, that's my
I can understand that. Like it tastes like pretty much.
It's like a nail. That's all it is.
Yeah, just it's a nail. It's definitely
a winter ale.
Well, it's a winter ale. Yeah,
winter ale.
You definitely taste like the comparison, not to compare it to like anything big, but like, you know, your basic macro type winter ale. Because I think they could have definitely did a little bit more in regards to adding maybe a few different spices to kick it up a notch, but not.
If you're looking for a winter ale, it's probably one you could probably start with.
This is a session winter ale.
Yeah, probably.
Everything's a session beer. Let's be real.
As long as you try
hard
enough.
I'm better on draft. Everything is a session beer.
Everything, yeah.
Just listen to the very first show.
Don't listen to the first show.
Or listen to that Hop Slam show last week.
Oh, God, my gosh.
With all 18 people in here. Ken was worried we wouldn't drink that 5 liters. Oh, yeah. Like, no, I'm pretty sure that'll be gone. And that was before I knew two more people.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, hey, guys. And then Robert showed up, too. He's like, oh, hey, guys.
Back from jury duty.
Oh, jeez, don't remind
me. Putting people in prison and then showing up to drink beer. It's like, no, hey,
wasn't it? You said it was a hung jury?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know. Shit. But it'd be funnier. Oh, I just sent someone to death row. Oh, well, we don't have that here, so never mind.
Yeah, let me go get a beer.
So what did you guys think of did you guys watch any of the All-Star game for hockey?
That was fun. I thought it was.
I didn't watch it, but I heard a lot of praise, a lot of great things coming from it, especially with the new format.
From a company that needs to come up with something fresh, especially from a few years ago, coming off of a couple of big lockouts and strikes that they had, this was a good way to do it. And they're going up against the worthless Pro Bowl, so... Yeah. I give them a lot of credit for that, they did.
I heard that, you know, every game, it was 20 minutes.
Yeah,
three
two
games,
10-minute halves.
Two 10-minute halves.
Yep.
Three on three, and literally they played straight-up hockey for 20 straight minutes.
Yeah, it worked.
No checking. I mean, there probably might have been like...
Oh, there was checking, but
if you check, though, you're going to be down a guy.
Yeah, because the way three-on-three works, you got a guy all of a sudden in the pocket, so when you got a guy on the other side of the ice in an instant breakaway, that was how much fun. It was like 6-7, I think, or something ridiculous.
So it was fast-paced.
Yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of breakaways, a lot of goals, and they were having a good time, too, which was fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think that's the one big thing I think people in the NHL, especially the fans as well as the people who are playing, they have a lot more fun while they play the game.
Yeah.
As opposed to NFL, where they just kind of sit there and like, oh, we're here.
Yeah, play some tag football.
Pro Bowl,
It was fun watching Patrick Kane actually play versus, you know, against the Olympics when you lose to Finland. Well, he can't do things to save his life, but yeah, it's fun to watch guys like that actually play the game. So it was a good time.
And then John Scott.
Yeah, John Scott winning the Twitter MVP.
The MVP award.
Well, wasn't John Scott and Patrick Kane that pretended to throw down during one of the games? Like, they started to, like, throw. That was actually funny when that happened.
They did throw down, and it was one of those. Obviously, it was staged.
Like, yeah, they were laughing when it happened, but, like, one of them threw the gloves down and went after the other one. I think it was Kane went after Scott, and it was just funny to watch.
Yeah, so Scott winning the MVP, he was the one that is basically, like, in limbo right now in regards to, like, if he'll ever play another NHL game again. And he does have more All-Star goals than Sidney Crosby, just throwing that stat out there. A person who, at the time of the All-Star game, doesn't really have a team right now because they tried to, like, trade him off to, like, Montreal. And then Montreal tried to hide him basically in the AHL. And they're like, people were just like, we're not having that. You're gonna put it, because I mean he's a grinder, he's a working man's hockey player as opposed to your standard goal scorer. Like he had by the looks of it, I'm looking at his stats right now. He's got 5 goals in the NHL since 2012. 5.
Yeah, it happens.
So, but I mean that's the player. There are players, you know, that are not supposed to be goal scorers.
Yeah, this is one of them.
I think Todd Bertuzzi or guys like that, you don't expect will score goals, but they're out there to whoop ass and
right.
Oh, they're out there. Ridiculous. They're out there so that people who are good, who are stick handlers, cannot stick handle.
Yeah,
their job is to basically cause an interruption. You had those people with the grind line. You had it with Mulpe. You had it with Kosher. Mulpe, I mean, Kosher was not the best hockey player in the world, but yet he was, you know, a force to be reckoned with, to the point where, you know, even if you look at, as much as Albuquerque is a little bit more of a better player now that he's played much more years earlier,
more time
day.
Yeah, God, yeah, he came in as a rookie when we won the cup the last time.
Yeah,
like,
he was just so strong and so forceful in regards to everywhere he was going that nobody wanted to mess with him. And he was a fourth liner. He was a person that was literally, you know, getting out there to get rest so that the first line can come back in.
Yeah.
That was the whole point. But the All-Star game was a lot of fun.
How about that Dylan Larkin?
Dylan Larkin breaking the speed record in regards to
the fastest skater.
Yep. And I think they didn't they do, like, after he'd won, didn't he have, like, one shot? Because there's an old speed skating challenge and then a new one. And after he won the new one, they allowed him to do the old one to see if he could beat, like, the 15-year-old record.
So his heat record in the first heat, they had, like, 4 separate heats besides the record attempt. He went a 12.894, so faster than the current record against Roman Josi? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hockey.
It's hockey. He went under 13, and then when he did the record attempt, he got 13.172, which is like 0.2 of a second faster than the previous record.
Wow.
Mike Gardner's 13.386. That's pretty freaking fast.
Yeah, it's real fast.
Yeah, so you're looking at, so there obviously there was an older way that they used to do the fastest skate, because they mentioned that they would put the goals forward. And you would pretty much do the entire outside of the ring. So it's definitely interesting to see, you know, giving him the opportunity, and he just crushed it. Mind you, he's only 19 years old. Yeah.
All right, so here's how they did it. The 4 heats they had, they did parallel short courses on the rink, and then the winner, who was Dylan Larkin, did the full lap outside the border of the rink.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, because we were talking about it, and I don't know who I was talking to with it, but we were talking, and this speed doesn't really do much, because obviously this is open ice, you know, really easy to pick up speed if you're a speed skater. But when you compare it to someone who, you know, is like Dylan Larkin's capability, it's completely different to someone who's fast on the ice like Darren Helm. Mm. Darren Helm was an amazingly fast skater, but he's a grinder. So he's the person who, you know, we talk about it and shorthanded, where he can pretty much take the puck to the opponent's net and just he's not going to shoot it. He's just going to play with it and kill time. You know, 20, 30 seconds later, oh, look, he lost the puck because it was 20 to 30 seconds later. And I mean, that's the thing that they're looking for with someone in Darren Helm. Whereas Dylan Larkin, you'll probably see this more in, like, you know, a random breakaway, maybe in 3-on-3 in overtime, where, like, oh, look, he's wide open. You've passed it to the red line, and he's going to try to shoot a goal. So it'll be a lot of fun to see him play But definitely two different versions of speed skating between Dylan Larkin and Darren Helm. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, obviously Helm plays and stays healthy, I guess would be the moniker for Helm.
Oh, Helm, yeah, him and DeKaiser have these issues of getting injured like every year.
It's crazy too, and it's not like we would do so much better in lieu, like if we had someone else. And it sucks to say, because I know a lot of people like Danny DeKaiser, a lot of people love Darren Helm. I love Darren Helm, but it's just crazy to see how, you know, how much better we could do if we could get someone who wasn't always injured.
Yeah,
all the
time. You had a mediocre guy that's there the whole year versus someone that's good that's there a quarter of the year, including missing playoffs. That's tough. That's a real tough spot to be in.
So looking at the Wings right now, as of late, they're pretty much at 500. They've always been at 500 between wins versus loss and overtime loss. They're definitely a big player of overtime losses. They have more overtime losses than pretty much
every
team.
They lose in the shootouts is why.
They're 1-3 in the shootout this year.
Yeah.
3.
So, but you got to understand, not too many shootouts are happening this year because of the 3-on-3 hockey. And what's interesting is I learned that if two players are in the penalty box after regulation and going into overtime, once they're released, they are on the ice, and it's 4-on-3, 4-on-4 until a whistle blows.
Huh. Is it really? Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
So there was a game where I was watching, and it was 4-on-4, and I'm like, this seems really slow. And I come to find out both of them had just been released from the penalty box, so they both get to enter the ice, play until the whistle, and then it goes back to 3-on-3.
Nice. Oh. Huh. The good thing about overtime losses, you still get the point. So that's been their saving grace for several years now.
Yeah.
this is this year. This is since they went to the East pretty much.
Yeah. The Red Wings are struggling at home with an 11-10-5 record, but their away record is one of the best in the whole league right now.
Well, that's actually good for them.
They're like top five, top six in away record.
They roll in that seventh seed, that's a good spot to be in.
Right now, they do have the first wild card spot in the East.
Seventh seed, yeah.
Yep, seventh seed. Yep,
they'll be playing, if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be playing Florida.
That's a tough game. That's a tough game.
So right now they're 0-2 against Florida. They just lost to Florida last night 6-3.
Yeah,
and then late last year 2-1 in overtime.
Yep, and they've played 51 games, so they're getting there. They're
getting close.
31 more games left to go for the Wings. It's very tight between the third, fourth, fifth, even all the way down to like eighth, ninth place. It's really close. It's just mere points.
Yeah, they could easily bounce up. They were in second or third a month or so ago
in the division. Yeah, they were like right there with.
Well, you got Boston, who's 9-1 in the last 10, and you also have Tampa Bay is 9-1, Boston 6-3-1. So you've seen a lot. Like, you have Montreal, who's 1-8-1. They've pretty much just flown off the face of the earth ever since they lost. What's that goalie's name that they had on their team?
Carey Price.
Carey Price, yeah. Carey Price definitely was like their saving grace, and now it's definitely not anymore.
Seems like Detroit always draws the Stanley Cup winner too in the first round.
Yeah, it seems like they do. They always seem to play either the Stanley Cup finalist or the eventual champion in that season. When they were playing in the West.
They pulled Chicago, they pulled Boston, Tampa Bay. Was it last year they pushed Tampa Bay into 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, they pushed Tampa to 7. That Chicago one was definitely a heartbreaker.
Up 3-1, and you can't finish the job.
Yeah.
It was definitely not something that I recall and enjoy, because just like watching it happen and like, oh, okay. you're out. You're like, what do you do now?
Yeah. Right. Even the back-to-back Pittsburgh years.
Oh,
that was tough to watch because they had it the second year and they just kind of blew it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you guys know the Bettman theory with the too many men on the ice, right?
No, I don't.
So if you can find it on YouTube, well, you can.
I'm sure you can.
If I can. No, I don't know how to use YouTube. Can you give me a demo right now?
HTTP.
You can still find the brawl at Joe Louis Arena between the Avalanche and the Red Hawks when it was back when it was on PASS TV.
Patrick Pass. Watching PASS.
Wow. So if you go to YouTube, you can find it. There is a point in game number 6 against, the Pittsburgh Penguins during year two, the year that we lost, so 09. And there was six Penguins on the ice for about 45 to 50 seconds.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're in our area for 60 seconds. And, like, they're passing between all six people and the refs don't catch it. Nobody catches it. You know, they're playing six-on-five hockey, which then leads to a penalty, I believe, by Anders Ericsson, which then leads to a power play goal. And pretty much, you know, mind you, you can't say anything because they lost game seven at home, I believe. So, okay.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's you know, we're playing Steve Bartman theories.
So are we talking 7-on-4 is what that goal would have been? If the Detroit had a penalty,
it was six on five. But how many times have you seen penalties drawn because they're just trying to get out of their own area and they draw a penalty because they're playing a little more aggressive, they're doing everything they can to get to the puck. So a 6-on-5, they finally Pittsburgh went off, but you got to think these guys have been on defense trying to block shots and stuff for the last minute, basically playing penalty kill hockey,
right,
when it's not penalty kill hockey. And they don't know it. They're not paying, you know, they're paying attention to the puck, trying to figure out where the puck's going. They don't know that there's six people on the ice.
I was going to say, to give the refs a bit of credit there, you got the two linemen and the one ref. I mean, it's not like football where you got like five or six guys out there. One of them specifically watching for how many players are on each side. That's a big difference.
No, it's not.
Show me more of this, right? I love it. Can I steal some?
I'll go for it, yeah.
All right.
It's not.
Dan's digging on that Rochester Reds.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I'll take the rest. I'll do the milkshake stout.
You sure?
Yeah, go for it. Just hand me the milkshake stout.
We still got four more cans of Rochester Mills.
We have more in the fridge still.
Yeah, I know, but they don't know that.
I'll tell you, this one's good. You guys will like that.
Is that the double IPA?
I had one of those last week. That's still sitting in my fridge.
I haven't had it yet.
So as we conclude with the hockey talk in regards to the Wings, so, you know, if you watch that, you'll realize that it's obviously – it's up there with some of, like, the most notable things, like intention to blow the whistle,
intention to blow the whistle.
You don't remember that?
No, I do.
I was like, how do you not remember?
I was going to do it.
I was in the process of doing it, but you had already scored the goal, so no goal.
You already scored, man. What's up?
You scored too fast. Sorry, guys. Doesn't count.
Yeah, so it's definitely interesting to see. But there are so many. There's a great save, too, that I always bring up. If you look at, I believe it was Mrazek last year in the playoffs, where Mrazek laid out and it kicked or not kicked with his stick mid-air, blocked a shot that was above air, so like above the rink. So literally, like, you know say a foot above ground, he literally lays out his stick and he bats away a shot as he's like reaching out for it.
Wow.
So see, he played on the top of his head. As much as I loved Howard then, I thought Howard should have gotten the start. Still think Howard should have gotten the start. Doesn't take away from how well Mrazek played, and how well he did. But I think, you know, you look at Chicago. Howard's the only reason we had seven games in the first place.
Yep.
You know, Boston.
What a good goalie.
He's definitely hot and cold. He's Chris Osgood. Yeah, let's see. More Dominic Hasek would probably be a better.
Oh God, or maybe Hasek. Even like a Cujo, like, yeah. Good or like shitty bad. Oh no, he's not that.
Osgood was always good to great, but Hasek was always bad to great.
Yeah,
like it's that. So, like, you know, I think I've had this discussion. It's always been on 97.1. You know, Chris Osgood, is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Do you think he will be in the Hall of Fame?
He better.
With the number of wins he had for the Wings, I'm thinking he will be.
Okay,
I think he will.
I mean, he's pretty much going to be one of the last, probably, you know, one of the last few. Oh, well, no, you know, it's hard to get 300 some odd wins in the NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially if you're not like a Carey Price who carries, you know, who plays 75 to 80 games a year. Whereas, you know, if you ever look in the NHL, there's always been a two goalies for Detroit.
Yeah.
It's always been one and one. They've never really had a mainstay goalie.
There's always been a controversy here. Like, oh, should this guy be starting? You think?
I don't even think as much as a controversy as much as I think we gave our goalies a lot more rest than a lot of other teams have
done.
I think
that's what it is.
Because, I mean, you look at people who have always played back, like Kevin Hodgson, Manny Legacy, Chris Osgood in the Legacy early days.
Wow.
You know, you're looking at these goalies and you're like, but then you had, I think we had one year where we had like Cujo and Hasek and you're like, okay,
which one?
We'll start. We'll do an Iowa caucus, heads or tails.
Oh, gosh.
That was the end of the pre-salary cap.
That was a pre-salary cap, yeah.
Right.
When everyone was coming here because they could, and it's like no one cared. Spend money and win more cups.
So
do you miss those days? That was a good hockey time.
Have you guys been watching the Pistons at all?
No.
That was quick.
No. All right. All right. Nicholas.
You know, listen, if you want to talk about the Pistons, and I don't know if you guys watch them.
I mean, I don't. The most that I really pay attention is when we were prepping for the show. Yes, I will admit that.
How freaking good were they back when they were the going to work team with the Chauncey Billups and Sheed?
Well, go
on, Nick.
Ken's ready to talk about this.
There's a conversation I had recently.
Go on.
No. I got to bring something up, so you go on.
I mean, that 2003-2004.
Yeah,
but the 2003-2004 season, even so, the 2004-2005 season.
That was still a great team.
When she backed off of Big Shot Bob and let him hit that three when they should have had the championship.
I know. But both years, because they played the Lakers in the finals in the 2003-2004 season, and then they played the Spurs in the 2004-2005 season.
Right? Yeah.
That was the
2004-2005 was the Sheed leaving
probably,
Robert Horry.
I mean, that's one of the most memorable teams. You know,
he's shaking his head because he knows what I'm talking about. That was like one of the worst things to do. Flushed the title down. Right. That was the win right there. That shot.
Of all guys,
I recall that. I remember a friend of ours faking an injury because he pretended to hit a mailbox because of it.
That was game seven.
Yeah.
So, you know, that game was tied like 5 minutes left. That was kind of still anyone's game.
It was tied going into the fourth. It was just
there was
quarter.
Like 5 minutes left. Right. And it was tied.
I want to pick your brain real quick because I have a question because we just discussed this last night. We were watching the Knicks Pistons game last night at the bar I was at, and they were talking, and we were talking about Darko Milicic pick.
Oh, Jesus.
Number two. And I bring this question to you guys. The next three players, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
If we picked any of those three players, do we win in 04 or go back in 05? Nick?
I'd say yes.
You think?
I think we'll definitely at least.
I've had this conversation.
I mean, look at him now. Dwayne Wade. I mean, I'm not a big basketball fan. I can't stand the NBA for the most part. But even with Carmelo, they're putting.
But I mean, we're talking about what the way they look now, as opposed to them being rookies.
No, I just want 04.
At that time.
Hold on. Like, when was Darko on the team?
Darko was on the team. 03 to.
He
was on the championship team. So he joined the team the year they won the championship.
Yep.
Okay. So go ahead, Nick. Because
Chris Bosh, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade. We're not talking about what they were now, but we're talking about their rookie year.
Yeah, so we're talking, if you took out Darko, inputted Anthony, Bosh, or Wade into the 03-04 going to work team where they won the title, do they still win the title?
Oh, gosh.
Can I answer?
Go for it, man.
This is not just me.
The answer is no, and here's why. Carmelo Anthony and Tayshaun Prince played the same position, or they play the same position.
Exactly.
They're not
where
dead.
I was going to get to is that somebody's got to come out.
The Hail Mary block on Indiana does not happen if Tayshaun Prince, his speed, that was like the most ridiculous thing I've ever watched in sports. When he came out, it's like they're like for the win. And here comes
out of nowhere.
No, it does not happen. That
was an RKO.
Wade a three? What's Wade play? I don't even know. Outside of basketball.
Wade is like a two.
Wade's a shooting guard.
Point guard.
So you're going to take a point guard. So you're going to take Chauncey Billups out of there. Are you going to take Rip out of that lineup? No. No, can't do that. Those guys are both too damn good.
Bosh is a point forward center.
So who do you take out? You take out Sheed? Or at that point, Sheed was the guy that
you take out. Wallace.
You take out Ben Walt? No, he was too good. He didn't score. I mean, I don't think they win with any of those three guys.
Robert.
Tayshaun, though, the biggest one, you can't.
Nope. Melo?
No.
No.
Bosh? No.
I would think a maybe with Bosh. Maybe.
But again, you're taking out Bosh for you're taking out Ben.
You would take out Ben Wallace.
You're talking about Ben or Rasheed.
And that's why I say maybe.
Ben was such a presence in the paint there, too.
He was.
That was ridiculous how good he was. He couldn't shoot a free throw. I could go out there and shoot better free throws, but goddamn, he was good.
Yeah. Wade, I still can't see it. I can't see it because, I mean, you put in Wade – I mean, basically, he's going to have to trade time with Rip.
Yep.
So you're talking about having to go, you know, splitting time between those two, and
Rip,
you know,
was
that
our best
Rip was our best scorer
by
and
far.
And you're talking about somebody who, I mean, when he played, he got hot as he continued to play. You're going to take him out and put Wade in? I mean, no, I can't see it. I mean, there was just too much chemistry between those guys.
That's the thing. That team had chemistry. Do we have Mehmet Okur still on the team, or did we trade him for Sheen?
Mehmet Okur, I think, played for the first year, and I don't think he played the second.
I couldn't remember.
Year.
Oh, we traded Chucky.
I think Okur played for what do you call it?
He went to
San Antonio.
Well, no, he went out to Utah.
He went to Utah.
But no, I couldn't remember if we traded him or Chucky Adkins. We got like Chucky Adkins and like someone else for Sheen. That was like the glue that put that team together. That made it I don't know why they were unstoppable. It was ridiculous how well they played.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I had this conversation again last night at the bar while I was hosting Pump Trivia, and it was just, you know, people were talking about all the people we could have had, and I really don't think, you know, even past 04-05, 05-06, 06-07, I don't think we would have an NBA championship on our roster.
No.
The only guy we
roster.
Could have had, and there was no way to get him, because if they got that pick, they didn't get the pick, would have been
LeBron.
And if they got the first, it went back to whoever's pick. Yeah, it went back to them if Detroit got the first draw.
The rule for the trade was, or whatever the rules were, is that any two and below for the lottery, Detroit would take Memphis's pick. And then if it was above two, so number one, Memphis would be able to make their own pick still.
Yep.
Just looking at the team from that championship year, man, we had a hell of a team that year, man.
Well, and I mean, it's like you said, with Bosch, that maybe that could be there. But with Melo and Wade, the thing with those two is that those organizations that picked them up had to build teams around those two.
Yeah.
And you're talking about trying to insert these two guys into something that's already established.
Think about the next year when we played Miami. Shaq and what's his name? Who went to Miami?
Dwayne.
They couldn't beat the Pistons. I mean, Shaq and Wade.
They weren't ready.
The same in 03-04 when it was Shaq and Kobe in L.A., wasn't it?
Oh, that was a superstar. That was a loaded team.
Shaq,
that was like the scariest
Kobe,
team.
Gary Payton, Karl Malone. I mean, yeah, it was
Evan
George. That championship year, the year that we won the championship.
The year they were measuring rings because they assumed it was like a four-win.
You had Kobe, you had Derek Fisher, Rick Fox, Devin George, Horace Grant. I mean,
Horace Grant. Wait, he was playing? No,
he might have been off the
coach.
Bench.
I'm like,
he might have been off the bench.
Where do you read Horace Grant?
He's probably off the bench, dude.
It's like the '90s Bulls, right there.
We had Karl Malone, O'Neal, Gary Payton.
Grant didn't even make it off the bench in the finals.
Wait, he was on that. He was still playing. I had no idea that guy was even still playing.
Bill Walton's son on the team.
So you basically, you know, obviously Detroit had for their, you know, their bench players. They had Corliss Williamson.
Oh yeah, that was our sixth.
High
Sox. Right.
Oh no, yeah. I disagree. I believe Lindsey Hunter is more.
Was he on that team?
Lindsey Hunter was the sixth man off the bench.
We had Corliss. We had Mehmet. If Mehmet Okur was on,
we had Mehmet. Mehmet played four games.
Stacked team.
Darvin Ham played four games.
Darvin, I remember
with
that
a ham slam. And we had Darko Milicic, who actually played three games, averaging 1.7 minutes
per
game.
The human victory.
You're talking about the playoffs? Yeah. Is that what you're looking at?
I believe he had, if I'm reading this correctly, he had two rebounds and one steal.
How you win a ring right there.
Yeah.
I could have done that. I mean, I guarantee I could have made that happen.
Darko played all but 14 minutes in the playoffs.
14 minutes.
14
minutes.
I can
go out there. 14 minutes. You going to pay me? What the hell?
Yeah. And he had a ring before LeBron.
Yes, he did. That is
he had
true.
A ring a long time before LeBron, too. Well, we're going to take a quick break. I hope you guys don't mind all the sports chat. Not too much in regards to beer news, but we'll see if we can talk a little bit more beer before we get back, especially after all this delicious Rochester.
Yeah, it was very good.
And we are back with a Better on Draft podcast.
We're going to pretty much bring that crosstalk back into the show as we bring up some prop bets to end the show.
Oh, Lord. I don't have prop bets up in front of me, but those are fun. Like,
don't worry. We'll get you guys' opinions. I've got a bunch. With that in mind, we'll start very, very simple ones. Will Peyton Manning announce his retirement in the post game? Yes, plus 500.
If he wins, yes. If he doesn't win, he'll announce it later.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Or? They have to win. I
agree with Dan.
Yeah. Will Peyton Manning be seen crying at any point during the game? Plus 600, yes.
If he goes out and Osweiler has to go in, yeah. I think you'll see him crying at some point. Like, he effed up.
Only point I think I would see him crying is Star Spangled Banner.
If he's crying during that, oh, man.
It's Peyton Manning. How many times have we actually seen him cry on the sideline?
The only time I can see it is he gets knocked out of this game somehow. That's what I'm thinking, but.
We'll keep going through. How many times will dab or dabbing be said by the announcer?
Is this like that drug?
The answer is over and under two.
What the hell is a dab?
Yeah, is that drug?
Dab is a little dance move that he does after like a good play.
After he's
is that what you're watching right now?
Yeah,
is
like
that?
he's dabbing in the video.
Dab on him.
Oh God! You know what? I think it'll be
that's like his thing.
I didn't know there was a name for this.
That's his discount double check.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This game's going to be a run over by Carolina. They're going to say that more than once because he's going to probably – he'll have one or two touchdowns on his own. That's going to happen.
And then we have how many times will Cam Newton do the open shirt Superman motion during the game? Over under is set at 2.5.
I take the over on that.
Taking the over. They're going to run over.
Well, that's the thing. The only time he does that is when he scores a touchdown. He's going to score more than two touchdowns.
You did say it's 2.5. I'm sorry. Just to re-
2.5. Is
two oh, and a half. Yeah. I so might we're take talking, the under on that.
We're talking
you got
him,
too many other weapons. Nah, that are gonna. You can have six touchdowns. Six different guys on that team will take it in.
So number five, this is one of my favorites so far. If Steph Curry is shown on the TV broadcast.
Stephon Curry?
What will he be wearing?
Are we back to basketball?
No.
Your
odds 1-1 personalized Carolina Steph Curry jersey, 2-1 no jersey, 3-1 Newton jersey, 5-1 any other Carolina jersey.
He's like basically best friends with Newton. I see a Newton jersey. Obviously, he's a Charlotte guy.
He's definitely rooting for the Panthers. He's not going to wear a Greg Olson jersey. Is that what you're saying? He's not going to wear a white guy's jersey?
Well, that's
what I'm saying. Wait, Greg Olson was 5-1?
What are you trying to say?
Well, that would be because he's other Carolina.
I'm like, yeah, he's not wearing the superstar white guy on the team.
I mean, he could wear Luke Kuechly's jersey. I mean, doesn't matter.
There's Steph Curry in the Ted Ginn Jr. jersey.
I mean, he doesn't.
The only thing that would be funny, him wearing like an obscure player.
He wouldn't wear a Ted Ginn jersey because then that would just jinx him from dropping passes.
Oh, God.
All right. So, will there be an earthquake during the game? 10-1 odds. Oh,
I wouldn't bet on that. That could happen.
That kind of hits close to home.
It's 10-1. 10-1 odds. I take that bet.
That hits a little close to home with me.
Scary. I don't know how. I don't remember. Robert, I know you're about my age or a little bit older than me. If anyone remembers the Oakland San Francisco,
that was
or
my,
no, I'm sorry, the Dodgers San Francisco World Series.
No. Wait, no, it was A's Giants.
Am I messing up the wrong teams?
I don't know.
I said Oakland, San Francisco. It was the Angels and Giants. I thought it was the Dodgers.
It was the Oakland A's, San Francisco Giants, October 17th, 1989.
You're right. I'm screwing up teams, but you're right. It was the Bay Area
team. I think
teams.
The year's right. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you got everything right.
All
right.
Yeah. Because, I was in the middle of my birthday party when that happened. Trying to watch that baseball
game.
That
was scary. That was a lot of damage happened during that. Part of that bridge went down.
Yeah.
It was like people died in that. That wasn't funny.
That was no. I mean, I don't think that would happen.
All right. So
I hope that doesn't happen.
We're flowing through. Will the Panthers player who scores their first touchdown give the football to a boy or a girl?
Oh,
minus 200 for the boy.
Ooh.
It's a tough one.
I take it. I'd put $30, $20 on the girl. I'd take that bet.
The girl is at +150.
Yep. Yeah, it's not a bad bet.
I'd take that bet.
I'd take that.
You got to hope there's a girl fan of the Panthers.
Well, we've seen it at least once this year.
No, I know. That's all you got to hope for is like there's a little kid, like a girl down there, and they see her in that end zone.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So what color will the liquid be that is poured on the winning coach?
Oh, Lord.
This is always a fun one.
Orange. So the odds get longer. Orange, blue, clear, yellow, red, green, purple.
I mean, who is down there trying to scout what kind of Gatorade they're going to have?
I don't know.
Someone's going through the videos of this. You're like, oh, who's making these odds?
It's funny because the orange and the blue have the best odds, and those are the two primary colors of the two teams.
Typically, orange is kind of the Gatorade you see. So,
orange or maybe yellow, maybe red.
I guess my thing is if it was on the Panthers side, it's for what I'm thinking, it's probably just going to be clear.
So we have who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first? Odds start at 2-1. God, team, the city / fans, coach, family, or none of the above?
None of the above seems to go to Disneyland. So.
None of the above and God and team are basically both at 2-1.
The team is probably the easy choice first.
So
I think the fans are going to be
team if
first.
It's on Broncos side. I think Panthers, it's on God's side.
Depends on who the MVP is, really.
Yeah, it depends on MVP. I think I gotta
who are your likely MVPs at that point? Cam Newton.
It really could be anyone. It could be your options on that side. It'd be Newton, Olsen, maybe Stewart. Those are your three. Who else could break out?
I mean, if it goes defensively, it could go Kuechly.
It could.
Kuechly's not a bad choice either.
Yeah.
They usually go scoring, though, unless he makes a big play where he gets a good fumble.
I mean, does anyone remember Dexter Jackson when he went from Tampa Bay?
Yes.
No. After that, he didn't do anything.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. But he has a ring.
He does have a ring and a Super Bowl MVP trophy.
So does Trent Dilfer. So if you want to argue.
Charlie Batch has a Super Bowl
That's
ring.
True.
He has multiple rings.
Yes, but here's the thing.
Charlie Batch deserves one. Charlie Batch is a hell of a
backup.
And
I am proud of that man for having a couple Super Bowl rings.
He had a career. He had a hell of a career.
If I got to put money on that one, vaya con Dios.
So will the left shark make an appearance on the stage?
Oh, God. Is this a bet? You can put money on this?
15-1.
What?
Put money on left
Why
shark
would the
showing.
Shark show
I
up?
Love their show to give. I hope he should be a Super Bowl staple now. That he should be in every halftime show.
Is it during the halftime show or just show up, period?
He runs out onto the field. He runs out on the field during the second quarter.
The odds, will the referee redo the coin toss?
Oh.
Did this happen before?
Yes, it did. This happened
2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, it was the Green Bay-Arizona game going into overtime. Green Bay made the call of heads. The referee flipped the coin, but the coin, for whatever reason, did not flip in the air. So then it landed, and then
oh my gosh.
They basically – Green Bay was getting ready to make the call, and the ref said, wait, the coin didn't flip. So he grabbed the coin again and then went to flip it. And at the same time, Aaron Rodgers was trying to change his call.
Oh.
But the ref still just said, hey, didn't flip. Grab the coin and flip it.
Wow.
Because basically Aaron says –
screw Aaron Rodgers. You know what? Screw that guy. You know, two Hail Marys to, save their season.
Right.
He deserved losing like they did.
That coin's going to flip.
End of story.
I got a prop bet for you guys.
Unless Joe Namath does it.
How many wings will Buffalo Wild Wings sell on Super Bowl day?
Oh, holy crap.
Is it over under?
Over under 12 million.
Whoa.
And just to give you a little bit, and just to give you an idea, my fraternity, we usually get about 200 every Super Bowl.
I have no idea. I don't know how many Buffalo Wild Wings
12 million,
are.
We're talking just nationwide.
We're counting on a company to say how many they sold. This is our bet. We're counting on a third party to be like, oh, we sold this many.
Well, yeah. It is what it is, man.
Some accounting firm's got to be monitoring this. I say over.
So there's another one. that I'm watching right now, and it's basically Carolina wins the Super Bowl and Trump wins the 2016 presidential election.
Oh, parlay. Geez.
13-4.
Parlay. Yeah, I say that's not a bad bet. That's you're not going to make a lot of money on that.
You have basically all three Carolina wins or Denver wins, and then Trump, Clinton, or Sanders. The odds go all the way down from 7-4 for Clinton winning and Carolina winning, all the way up to what I believe is probably Sanders winning and Denver winning.
What do we have for Carly Fiorina winning the president?
I think she's at like plus 10,000 right now.
I like the idea of a bet where I have to wait, you know, more than like.
You have to wait like a year.
Yeah,
you have to wait a year now.
Before I can collect. I'm like, oh, well, the game's over. I got that first half.
Oh, thank God. Hopefully Jim Gilmore wins right now, or we're good to go. All right, guys. Carolina won. So
halfway there.
Vermin Supreme winning the Democratic.
All right, now, if these nuts wins the presidency.
If Mickey Mouse wins.
Yeah, right. We are billionaires, yes. So hold tight.
You ready for this parlay?
Santa Claus.
Denver wins the Super Bowl. Peyton retires. San Antonio wins the NBA championship. And Tim Duncan retires. All four of those need to happen.
I have no idea why, but I would take that bet.
It's 20, not a bad 20 bet.
20 to 1.
20, Tim, 20 to 20 1? 20 to 1?
What's Tim Duncan, like 40?
He's up. Oh my God.
Isn't it time?
He hasn't applied for the AARP card yet.
Is this Robert Parrish? You got Robert Parrish Jr. out there.
He's 39, so.
Yeah, Robert Parrish was like 40 out there.
Parrish was the man because he never smiled.
Oh, yeah. He always looked like he was ready to murder someone. You guys remember Robert Parrish? He always looked like he was about to pull a knife on you.
He won championships. He still looked like Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, he was like 7 feet tall and about to kill you.
Right. I would take for 20 to 1, I'd put 10 on that. I would do it.
You ready for another good one? Tiger Woods' first-round score at the 2016 Masters versus Emmanuel Sanders' receiving yards.
In the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. See.
That's
high. You're telling what's going to be higher?
What's going to be higher?
Oh, my God. What's higher?
Emmanuel Sanders should have 100 yards. He should.
Well,
if he doesn't, we got a problem. Well, they're losing. Yeah.
I would think he would because with Carolina's defense, they're going to be doubling Demaryius Thomas the whole damn night.
Have to.
So I think Emmanuel's got to get open. I could see him easy at least if he at least got 80 yards. That kills that bet because I couldn't see Tiger doing worse than I guess at his absolute worst maybe an 85.
I don't know too much about
golf.
Hell, I
can hit 85.
I couldn't. I mean, I could probably hit 85 people, but I'd probably get in a lot of trouble. Another one, Arsenal total goals on February 7th or Peyton Manning TD passes. Which one is higher?
Oh, wait, hold on. I'd probably take Arsenal.
You said Arsenal on February 7th?
Yep. I would say, who is Arsenal playing?
Yeah. Arsenal is playing Bournemouth. Oh, shit.
I'm taking Arsenal.
They're making a bet. They're not making it easy.
I'll take the wait. Where's our buddy Tony? He'd answer that. I'd take the Arsenal score.
Arsenal wins that game 4-0.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm taking that Arsenal bet.
I don't even pay attention to soccer, and I'm like, all right, yeah, that's probably 4-0.
Well, it's Bournemouth, so
Have DeMarcus Cousins points and rebounds combined. Against Cam Newton rushing yards.
DeMarcus Cousins points and rebounds combined versus Cam Newton's
rushing yard
total. Rushing yards.
It's a tough one.
I mean, Cousins, he averages, 27 points a game, maybe 15, 16 rebounds?
Is that Donald Trump from the Saturday Night Live? That is. I was like, oh, no.
DeMarcus Cousins is averaging 27 points a game and 11 rebounds a game this season.
Look at that. I'm not
Donald Trump dancing to Hotline Bling.
It's pretty damn good, man.
So, yeah. Cam would have more rushing yards.
I agree.
So we're kind of closing up, and I want to bring up a few little different things that I'm pretty much going into on USA Today as we're discussing betting and gambling and stuff like that, which obviously is illegal in this state, but you can go to Bovada or,
Oh, we don't promote illegal activity, do we?
Well, I don't think we have the FCC or whatever. Okay. Never really mind.
Go ahead and gamble. I do. Yeah. I go on. I think multiple people here go on DraftKings, and
I'll look up the numbers.
Maybe we should try to do Super Bowl at Caesars again.
Oh Lord!
Without the snowstorm. So we're looking at the best bets of 2015. Jordan Spieth, after finishing runner-up, Spieth was a 10-1 to win the Masters, and
Spieth.
Spieth, sorry, whatever.
That's okay.
It's S-P-I-E-T-H.
Golf.
Whatever. Hey.
So if you predicted him to win the Masters and the U.S. Open, $10 would have netted you $100. So that's not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not a bad. So then you have American Pharoah.
Oh, I made a lot of money on the Preakness. I'll tell you what. If you look at the Preakness, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, go for it.
The Preakness was a moneymaker, and then the what was the last race that just happened where he won?
The Breeders' Cup.
Breeders' Cup, because that 15 came in second, made a shitload of money on Halloween. I don't mean to cuss like that, but wow.
So if you were to bet $10 on him winning the Triple Crown, you would have won $95.
Hmm.
That was the Triple Crown odds.
The
seems kind of weak.
Yeah, to bet after – well, he was favored in all three races. The Preakness, because of that storm, when the two long shots came in second and third, it shot it up, like, big time money-wise. And then that 15 ran in second in the Breeders' Cup and shot the money up. Not as much as it could have been if he would have – I mean, there was so much distance between him and number two. But if that 15 would have passed him, it would have been, like, ridiculous money. Uh-huh. Sorry, I like horse. We talk about golf. I love horse racing. Like,
so at number three, the future Kansas City Royals winning the World Series, $10 netted you $340.
That ain't bad.
That's not a bad.
Not a bad one.
No.
Nope.
Team was given 30-1 odds on an over underline of 80.5 games. They went on to win 95, and Bovada gave them 4.5-1, 14-1, and 33-1 to win the AL Central pennant.
Wow.
And World Series, respectively. Obviously, you got to win both.
How the Tigers started and were favored to win that division.
Don't even get me World Series.
So, speaking of not talking about the Tigers.
Wait, was that a rule? I didn't.
No,
it's not religion and Tigers.
Hey, it's free game.
Number four, Holly Holm. Betting on Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey, to upset Ronda Rousey, $10 netted you $110.
That was the pick in DraftKings.
Yeah.
Like, that was like the value pick because you couldn't pick her and that Polish girl, the other female.
Yeah.
Joanna.
You couldn't pick them both.
I can't say it.
Yeah.
So this is going to be definitely something to for Nick Moore. And it goes Little Leicester City, L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R.
Leicester.
Advantage of an easy schedule at the start of the season, went on a hot run. They then, just when everyone expected them to cool off, striker Jamie Vardy went on a tear, broke the record for longest streak of goals in consecutive matches. They probably won't win the Premier League, but you could have gotten a cool 1,000-1 odds for them to be the top of the league at Christmas. And there is proof that somebody made that 1,000-1 odds bet and won $10,000 on a $10 bet.
It's crazy that Leicester City is leading the English Premier League right now.
It's too bad.
You got Manchester City, Tottenham, Arsenal, Manchester United rounding out the top five, and you have Leicester City, little town in England.
Is Newcastle in the league this year? I haven't watched. I haven't kept up.
Newcastle is in the league. They are currently facing relegation right now.
I always like Newcastle because they wear the jerseys that look like the refs. It's like, what are these guys doing?
The black and white prison uniforms?
Yeah. It's like, why are the refs out there playing?
Yeah, they're 2 points outside of the relegation, inside the relegation zone.
Because there are usually a stand. Like, they're usually not winning every year, but they're usually up there. And well, I hate to see them get relegated.
Well, yeah. I mean, Newcastle always seems to pull it out of their ass at the last second.
Yep.
Aston Villa, for example, though, they've been in the Premier League for quite a while, ever since I started paying attention to soccer.
Mm-hmm.
They're dead last right now. There's no way in hell they're going to get out of
there. So they get relegated.
They will be relegated to the English League Championship, is what they call it, which is like their Division Two.
Yeah.
So we got one more bet to talk about. Obviously, the company that did the bet
was called, I believe, Ladbrokes.
That's it's England. That's over in England.
Yep. So they actually tweeted like the line and the stat that the guy bet five, English, was it pounds, liras?
Pounds sterling.
Yep. Bet £5 sterling, obviously won 5,000. So
not a bad bet.
So £5 sterling, you could probably double that number and get American dollars.
It's about 1.4, 1.45
right
now.
Believe me,
when I was over there, that was the worst part of being in England was the money exchange.
So £5 sterling got £5,000 sterling?
Correct.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of cash.
Yeah, especially when you convert it to American dollars.
Yeah, when you think of the world standard in Britain, smartly stayed out of the euro.
That's like an $8 bet in America.
Yeah.
$8 gets you a little over,
I remember going to a pub. It's like, oh, I spent £25. Oh, no, that's like $45. Look at the cap of the window, like, oh, I spent that much. Wow, okay.
I spent that night at the bar, man. What are you talking about?
Thank God that trooper was good.
And finally, the last bet, which hasn't technically happened yet, but obviously could net you very well. Carolina Panthers, 33-1 to win the Super Bowl this year. That was
at the start.
I remember laughed at by picking Jonathan Stewart at our draft for. Like getting made fun of by the guy that won last year. Oh, why would you? Oh, that was a waste of time.
He didn't even make the playoffs this year.
No, I suck.
I wonder when they considered what the start of the year was because
probably
when
being a preseason, maybe?
Like when you went, yeah, before preseason, you had their top receiver go down for the year with an ACL injury.
And, good point.
And at that point, that everyone kept saying, well, who is Cam Newton going to throw the ball to? And since he had no receivers, they felt like, well, Panthers will be lucky if they go 5-11.
You know, speaking of the Panthers, you know where you could watch Super Bowl this Sunday?
I have a pretty good idea you're going to download.
Where?
Three Knicks scoreboard.
Yeah.
They got 28 beers on draft, plenty of great beer choices if you're the craft beer fan, plenty of liquor choices, great food deals. Go check them out, 3 Knicks Scoreboard, definitely in Allen Park. And, of course, another place you could go watch it, North Center Brewing.
Oh, we can go there too.
They do have TVs there. Not too many. It's definitely not the sports bar type. But while you are taking your turn, instead of watching the football and waiting for the commercials, you could be playing shuffleboard or doing whatever you want there at the brewery. So make sure to check out the guys over in Northville, North Center Brewing. We appreciate their sponsorship here of our show. We definitely enjoy their beer even more.
Yeah.
So can't check them out. No, not at all. They're pretty much right outside of downtown Northville.
Aren't they on North Center Drive?
Yes, North Center Road or whatever.
Yeah. Catchy name. Makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. So as we kind of clean up, we got a couple more minutes left. We really just – I really don't know what else to talk about, so I'm going to kind of bring up one of the articles that's pretty much been kind of chilling on our – on our page that we have for pre-show and stuff, because we always have stuff to talk about that we want to. And some things that maybe we're interested to see in the future in regards to the beer industry. Has any of us – like I've already tried gluten-free beers, but do you guys like gluten-free beers? Do you have friends who have maybe celiacs who like gluten-free?
I tried one a long time ago. My friend Gavin was dating someone who has celiacs and – had some of the beer. I wasn't impressed. So this is before the whole explosion of the whole craft beer, so I don't know what it's like today.
And one thing you have to always make sure is just because it's a cider doesn't mean it's gluten-free. Give you guys a pro tip right there.
And let's make this clear, too. Gluten-free does nothing for you unless you have celiac. So don't think you're dieting or doing something special.
Well, unfortunately, Dan, that there are people on this planet that are stupid.
And that's why I'm saying this. I mean, you're just retarded. I mean, there's no point in
Robert's right here. You don't have to talk to
right?
Hey.
Oh, Lord. Hey. I don't know who made the insult, Nick or Kat. I don't know where that
is. I definitely made the insult.
Yeah, if you're being intro. Like, oh, I'm gluten-free. Well, it does nothing for you.
I just don't want to pay the $5 to get it fixed.
I'm trying to get out of it. Fiverr out there put me in the intro.
Trying to get rid of you.
No, the stupidity comes when you have to put gluten-free on a box of Honey Nut Cheerios.
Well, they have isn't Cheerios gluten-free now?
It's always.
I was going to say, has anything – what's changed?
Nothing has changed.
I just saw the commercial. We're going to eat this. It's nothing gluten-free. Has changed. None of us have celiac, so I don't really care. Yeah. It's like, okay.
I'll eat bread. I'll eat meat. I don't care. Just give me a cheeseburger. Give me a cheeseburger.
But truthfully, if you need it, I'm glad those beers exist. I remember, like I said, years ago, we're talking – 6-7 years ago is when I had one. It's like, whatever. It's beer.
For the people that actually have celiac disease, it's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, I'm not sure if it's just me, because I've never, up until about like a few years ago, I'm like, celiac disease, what the hell is that? It really, I mean, there's actually know some people that actually have celiac disease, and, you know, they can actually enjoy.
I know someone who had celiac disease and who drank a cider because technically they thought all cider was gluten-free. Oh,
okay.
And they learned the hard way.
Oh,
the extreme hard way.
Not just the same hard way.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It took definitely a trip. A trip to the hospital after that because it was mixture of alcohol plus gluten definitely destroyed them. But there's another one on here called Craft Goes Mainstream, and that's pretty much calling out Ballast Point, Lagunitas, selling
calling
out.
Them out.
Oh, yeah. It literally says,
call them out.
With acquisitions such as those of Ballast Point and Lagunitas, it's like right there, Big Beer purchasing them. We don't care. We don't care who owns them as long as the beer. We like the beer.
My only gripe with Lagunitas is they're not making that damn red anymore. They retired that beer, and it's like, okay, I was like living on that for quite a while. And it's now you won't make it anymore.
You can go call Heineken and ask them what's up.
Hey, you know what? I give the Dutch credit. They're trying beer-wise. Right. They're failing, but they're trying.
I don't see anything wrong with branching out. I mean, it's kind of like going to work and somebody being mad at you for going to work, and you're just saying, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I wanted to make money.
Yeah. Oh, people get mad because you went to work.
Right. Like,
does it make sense? I'm like a little confused. I went to work, guys. My bad.
And then the last one, I think it's definitely something that we don't care about because, especially what we were drinking last week with the Alk Pops, with the orange and the ginger ale from Henry's. The sweet inspiration. So, your root beers and stuff, some are good, some are bad. It's very simple.
Well, we had that Henry's ginger ale, and then the orange as well. Then one of the earlier shows that we've had, we had the Not Your Father's ginger ale.
Oh.
That one was bad. Oh. The Henry's that we had last week was so much better.
That was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was the first one I had of either. So
the Henry's orange was basically just Faygo orange pop.
That was good. Yeah. I was shocked. Yeah. It was like over 4%.
It was good. They said it was it was a big company that made that, wasn't it?
It was Miller Coors that made
Miller Coors, Henry. Yeah. Miller Coors, yeah.
They're like zero F's, or like, where are you in this market too?
Yeah,
we can hide a company name. You know?
Oh, again, we don't care as long as it tastes good,
yeah,
right?
Which it was.
It was delicious.
Yeah, and that was a perfect example.
We had a very pessimistic person sitting in the chair that Nick's sitting in right now.
Yeah, I know.
Tony.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Trying to get him to like something that's popular or anything like that is definitely, you know,
well, if it's mainstream, then I'm sure.
As he's yelling original wrestlers' names at the same time.
Oh, that's why we didn't bring up any wrestling last week.
Kevin Steen.
Kevin Steen, yeah.
Prince DeWitt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Devitt. Yeah, or whatever else he was talking about. You had some conversation with him.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun on Facebook.
Whatever AJ Styles' real name is.
Where I think it's AJ Styles.
I'm pretty sure it says his real name, but he was calling some other people. He was like going on to like the real names. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Alan Neil Jones.
I think it's when I said something along the lines of like when – and I named like Allison Hannigan's character in American Pie and then Jason Segel's character in Freaks and Geeks, and I referenced them in How I Met Your Mother.
No, I remember when you did that. That was a while ago. I think it would have been the same time that conversation happened. He's like Husky Harris. You know?
We're done. Better on Joff Podcast. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. 3 Nick Scoreboard,
Husky
Zatuna Liquor, And of course,
no, this actually happened.
I know.
And of course, North Center Brewing. Don't forget, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/betterondraft. You can follow us on. We're turning. Nick's gone.
You're off. I can scream it out.
We're gonna thank you for listening. Don't forget, no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft.
Oh yeah. Woo!